Now, the music of the church is filled with the news. In fact, you may not know it, but all of the readings today are great old hymns of the church. Some of you may have wanted to sing them if you knew them, but they're all great old hymns that proclaim the same message. The music of the church rings with the news. Jesus may come today. I would see my friend. Dangers and toils would end if Jesus should come today. Anybody sing that one? See? This is, or is this, the crowning day. I'll live for today, not anxious be. Jesus, my Lord, I soon shall see. Is this the crowning day? Or how about some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory and break through the clouds. Some golden daybreak for me and for you. Or Jesus is coming again. What if it were today? He's coming in power and love to reign. But what if it were today? Coming to claim his chosen bride, all the redeemed and purified over the whole earth scattered wide. What if it were today? Glory. Glory. Joy to my heart twilt bring. Glory. Glory. When we shall see him, when we shall crown him king. Haste to prepare the way. Jesus will come someday. Some of you will remember this one. The marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labor in the courtroom, no debate. Work on earth is all suspended as the king comes through the gates. Oh, the king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The king is coming. Praise God. He's coming for me. The music of the church is filled with the news that Jesus is coming, because that is the great hope of the church and of all Christians. It is the great moment in history when time stops and everything falls back into its appropriate and proper place. It is the moment when Jesus fulfills the promise he gave in John 14:3. If I go, he said, I will prepare a place for you, and I will come back to take you to be with me forever. But when this great hope was first spoken to the disciples, they were greatly confused. See, Jesus had told them, in a little while, you will see me no more. Then, after a little while, you will see me. It's found in John chapter 16, verse 16. Jesus' words were an accurate summary of the facts. He would die, he would be resurrected from the dead, and then he would ascend to the Father. after his ascension, they would see him no more for a little while. Now, you give me a little bit of liberty here with that phrase, a little while. Because you and I are locked into the realm of time. Okay? And our perception of a little while is limited to the perception of time. So we sit here today saying, a little while, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus ascended into heaven. What do you mean, a little while, Pastor? But Jesus left the realm of time and lives in the realm of eternity where there is no time. To help us understand the realm of eternity, the scripture says that 10,000 years is as but a day. So folks, in the realm of eternity, in the place where God is and where Jesus has gone, it hasn't even been a full day. Just a little while. He said that he would come back. They would see him no longer for a little while. And then he said that he would return in victory. Now, when he returned, they would see him again. So it's going to be a little while that they won't see him, and then they will see him again. And when he came, he would take them to the place which was prepared for them, and he would be with them eternally. Now, while Jesus' words were an accurate summary of the events that were about to unfold and will yet unfold, for they have not been completed even to this day, they were hardly a detailed explanation of what was going to happen. So the disciples were confused by what Jesus meant. And like all people in every age, when they are confused, they grumbled and complained to each other about their confusion. They ask each other what Jesus meant, but they did not bother to ask him to explain. Makes sense, right? Now, just a couple observations. Observation number one, it often seems to us that God does not clue us in. Okay? Sometimes it seems that he leaves us out of the details. We believe, don't we, that God has a plan. We believe that God is faithfully working his plan. We believe that God's plan is ultimately for our good. It will bring us good. We just don't always feel fully informed about what God's up to. Okay, I've often said that I know exactly what God should do. But he doesn't always talk to me about it. And sometimes I just feel totally uninformed. Been there? Come on. Come on. That's how the disciples felt at the time we're discussing. It like wasn't crystal to them. And that's still true. Often, we just do not feel clued in, right? And observation number two, under such circumstances, we tend to do what they did. To grumble and complain. See, like it or not, grumbling and complaining is part of our nature. Like the first disciples, when we don't get it, when we can't see what God is doing, when the plan of God does not appear to be our plan, we grumble and complain. I have actually heard people say, God's not listening to me. He's not answering my prayer. Think again. Observation number three, under such circumstances, that is when we feel excluded from the plan of God, we almost never go to God about it. We just don't ask God to clue us in. We actually don't even open our eyes wide enough to see what God is doing around us. As James tells us, we don't get because we don't ask. And instead of trusting God and walking by faith, we just love to grumble and complain. I mean, that's you, of course, not me. Okay? But we just love to grumble and complain. But the text says that Jesus heard the question they did not ask. Praise God. He listens to the groanings and the complainings of our hearts and of our lips. He hears what we are saying, even when we think he's not listening. He hears the questions that we are afraid to ask. Now, honestly, for whatever reason, apparently in order to bring us good, because the Bible says that's what he's up to, he may just let us lay in our groanings and complainings for a while. But even that is part of our Father's plan to bring us good. He will answer the unspoken questions of our hearts. He will not leave us, nor will he forsake us. And at the right moment, when it will bring us the utmost good, he will answer the unspoken questions of our hearts. So that day, because it was the moment, Jesus answered the unspoken questions of the disciples' hearts. First, he explained that they were living through a moment like that of a woman who was giving birth. While she struggled through the process, she was in pain. But when at last the child was safely born into the world, all the pain endured in the struggle would be forgotten. He meant that the disciples were about to go through such a moment. The events about to unfold, his crucifixion, his going away from them into heaven, the persecution that would break out over the church following his ascension, these things would bring them pain. But when they came home to the kingdom of God, all the pain of the struggle would be forgotten in the glory that God showed them. When at last they could see the full plan of God, it would make sense, and their joy would be complete. Now, honestly, this may be a moment like that for you today. Life may be full of hurt and pain and disappointment. You may wonder if God has simply forgotten you. You may think that he has not heard the unspoken questions in your heart, and you may feel that your labor has been long and that there will be no end to your suffering. But hear me now. God is listening. God knows what you suffer. He will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. He has a plan for you that will ultimately bring you joy. On that day about which the scripture speaks, Jesus answered the unspoken questions of the disciples' heart. And when the time is right, he will explain it all to you too. They understood then that he understood their confusion, and that he cared for them, and that he loved them. He would never leave them. He would never forsake them. He would come again to them and take them to himself, that where he was, they might be too, forever and ever. Amen. He said that when these events, all of this horrible stuff that was before them, when it all took place, they would remember his words, and then they would know that he loved them. In his love, their joy would be complete. I love the word in Greek, the word that's complete. It means lacking nothing. It means complete. It means full, without any shortage, pressed down, overflowing, abundant joy. In his love would be their joy. And that joy would be complete. So, folks, Jesus is coming again. Jesus will take us to himself. And our joy, no matter what it is that we may be enduring now, in him, our joy will be complete. So rejoice, friends. Jesus is coming.